Hello and welcome to Radio Spätkauf, a podcast about Berlin. I'm Maisie.
I'm Joel.
And coming up on this week's show, Joel?
Well, tonight we have a really interesting interview. Well, let's start with this. Are you a new Berliner? Are you somebody who's just arrived in the city? You sometimes feel a little bit, I don't know, unloved or rejected by the people who are here first, because I've got to say that's probably a common feeling on the streets, especially when you start seeing stickers like Berlin doesn't heart you all over the city.
Ouch.
We've got a fascinating interview with a group of people who are fighting against this trend to demonize tourists. They want Berliners to stop hating on tourists, and it's a really interesting story. So stay tuned to hear that interview later on in Radio Spätkauf. But let's start off with a bit of quick news, Maisie. Some bullet point updates about what's going on in the city. So off the top of the news list, Maisie, the London Olympics have just wrapped up.
Yes.
I'm sure you were glad not to be in your former home city when they were on.
Yeah, I was, kind of, yeah.
Well, sadly, Maisie, the Olympics may be coming, following you here. Yes?
No.
The great leader of the city, Klaus Wowereit, the mayor, has declared that he wants Berlin to host the Olympics in either the year 2024 or 2028, and he is encouraging the city to actually bid to host the Olympic Games again.
But the city's got no money. Isn't that going to be a bit of a problem?
It's never really been a problem before, has it? You know, need an airport? Sure, let's just...
Yeah.
Need a new train system? Yeah, let's just... Of course, it is a bit outlandish for a completely bankrupt city to be bidding for the Olympics. What's interesting also, of course, is that Berlin's had its turn at the Olympic Games in 1936.
Yes.
And I did even hear someone say that perhaps, given the legacy of those games, that Berlin perhaps should just be permanently banned from ever hosting them again. They were the Nazi Games. And
yeah, but they were already in power. You can't blame the Olympics.
Well, there's a whole academic field of study that details how bad the Olympic Games are for any city that
could, really?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's no good for the economy. It leaves huge debt. It's just bad news, basically, if your city hosts the Olympics. It's a cover for a huge amount of urban change and a reason to jack up rent prices and basically shift out a whole bunch of poor people out of a city. That's what happened in East London, and no doubt because Wowereit's very much in favour of the city's rents going up, that he would very much like to see the majority of the city's rents increase to Paris prices. And of course, the quickest way to do that is to host the Olympic Games and sweep all the riffraff out. And let's just hope it doesn't happen. Berlin did bid for the Olympics in recent memory in the 2000 Olympic Games. They were on the short list. They lost out to Sydney in Australia. And then it all went a bit quiet. But, you know, of course, the recent Olympic photo has Wowereit all stirred up again. Some say he's trying to leave a legacy behind because the airport has been such a major fuck-up that he needs something to leave behind. And perhaps if he can be the initiator of the games, you know, in a decade and a half time, maybe that's his way of leaving something behind. But I would, for one, say let's hope it doesn't happen.
Move the deadline, Joel. That's the thing. When you know, it's the difference between an airport and Olympics. You can't just do it, you know, a few months later. Oh, sorry, I didn't get the work done on time. But yeah, it's very un-German in a way, actually, that not punctually opening, you know, the airport on time.
Apparently, even May 2013 is now a stretch, they're saying. That might not even 1 year late is too early for this particular. And the even worse is that the local papers have been rolling out the figures that have been recently disclosed about the amount of money that the airport chiefs have been paid. Now, I can't remember the exact overall figure that they received. It was like 200,000, something ridiculous per year for their salary.
Wow.
But even more ridiculous was that they received a Sonstiges bonus, just extras, of something in the order of 18,000 euros a year. Now, that is a regular human's actual income. Forget Sonstiges.
Regular human, yeah.
Like, that's actually what some people just earn.
Yeah,
not
what
Sonstiges.
We actually get paid.
Just extra.
Oh, wow.
What's your extra payment, Maisie?
Oh, not anywhere. It's more like €1.80, I think, yeah.
We love talking about the airport. We also love talking about bubble tea.
Oh, your favourite drink, Joel.
It really is.
Why didn't you bring any tonight?
I'll tell you why I didn't bring any, Maisie, because the Consumer Affairs Minister of Germany has declared that bubble tea is dangerous for children.
Why does that not surprise me?
Well, probably it's one reason she's made the declaration is because it's summer and politicians don't really have much to talk about and they like rolling out these kind of little populist ploys to get attention in the papers.
Yeah.
So she needed a talking point, so she came out and declared that bubble tea is bad for children. The reason being that they can choke on the little balls.
Oh, so it's not an actual sort of, it's nothing to do with the, what's in the tea. I mean, it's not, you know, there's no kind of additives that are going to make them get hyperactive or anything like that.
Well, nobody's complained about the additives, but the Green Party jumped on the bandwagon well.
Yeah.
They're not so much worried about the little balls that kids could suck up.
Yeah.
They are worried about the sugar. It has 180 grams of sugar per liter.
Wow.
Yeah, and I did check this against our favorite drink, Club Mate, which has apparently 5 grams of sugar per liter.
Okay.
So it is quite a lot.
Yeah, that's quite insane.
Or was it 50 grams for Club Mate?
Don't know.
Oh, I better check that.
I'm steering clear of both, Joel, for the moment.
That's not true at all. I've seen you hit the Club Mate, Martin.
Yeah, I know, but my teeth are starting to protest.
There are lower sugar alternatives on the market.
Are there?
Yes.
You can do some product placement now.
We haven't been paid yet, so I can't see why we should.
Let's wait till we do.
Why do we talk so much about bubble tea? Well, the reason is because, of course, Berlin has been overtaken by bubble tea shops. They are everywhere.
And how? Yeah.
And they are the favorite drink of school children, we've worked out. That's the main market. But as somebody else pointed out to me, it's quite unusual that you see one product, just like one drink, break out and become its own like shop range. Like why isn't that just like one drink in the supermarket or in the Spätkauf?
Yeah.
It doesn't really deserve its own separate shop for just that particular drink. But it's got it and everywhere and you can't avoid it. So I'm keeping up the bubble tea reportage and bringing you news from the streets.
I mean, your theory about them always being empty, uh-huh. Joel, it's you're vindicated because they really are always empty. I've never seen any of those bubbles. I've never seen anyone in any of the bubble tea shops.
I think you have to go there at around 3 p.m. What time does school get out in Germany?
I think 1. They start really early.
Okay, so yeah. you got to head there when the school gets out, and I think you'll see a different looking.
Really?
We're probably never around at that time, but
yeah,
I tell you
early.
What, the school kids are, and they are sucking those drinks
They're
down
buzzing.
Like nothing else, which is, of course, why the Consumer Affairs Minister is so worried about it. So, kids, you heard it from the Consumer Affairs Minister, stay away from bubble tea. Of course, our other favourite shops are Spätkaufs, Maisie.
Yes, most definitely.
We've been bringing you news about the peril that Spätkaufs face because they were threatened with closure on Sundays. There's been a little bit of an update. Although the city government has declared they're not going to enforce this new regulation by a court to close down Spätkaufs on Sundays, some of the branches of officialdom have been going out on their own and finding them. So there have been actually police checks on Spätkaufs in Prenzlauer Berg. 16 Spätkaufs were raided on Sundays and some of them were fined. And this made me just think... Surely the purpose of a law is to please the wishes of the people, right?
Yeah.
And if the people have decided that actually it's all right if a Spätkauf is open on a Sunday, let's just change the law, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought until I actually read further in the story and found out that the reason these Spätkaufs are getting raided is because the neighbours have been complaining about them.
Oh, no. What a load of Spießer, as they say.
Exactly. And what do these people do on Sundays when they need milk, you know?
Don't know. They stock up of the day before, as traditionally Germans want to do on Saturday, kind of panic buying.
And they call the police when their neighbours forget. Well,
exactly. You should have remembered to get your milk in.
I did.
That's a jail sentence for you.
Or at least a fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of fines, Maisie, there's one lucky branch of industry that won't get fined anymore, and that is the bakery workers of the city.
Wow, I'm relieved.
Yeah, the bakery workers, it has been declared, are allowed to wear black to work.
Wow. Now, are they in mourning, Joel?
They're not in mourning. They want to wear clothes that they like to wear, and apparently there's a regulation on the books that a bakery worker must wear a light-coloured clothing.
Oh.
And for some reason, one of the branches of officialdom in Berlin decided to actually go and fine a pastry cook who was seen wearing black to work.
Oh, my word.
Now, you've got to ask yourself, is this person the same person who went around finding the Spätkaufs on Sundays? Or perhaps it was even the same neighbor calling them, because who really cares what your pastry cook is wearing to work? But somebody did enough to take this person to court.
Wow.
And thankfully, common sense won out, and the court decided that, you know what, if you want to wear black to work, you're allowed to. So, all those bakery workers, you know, and especially if you, a bakery worker from the goth scene, perhaps.
I was going to say, Friedrichshain, yeah. You know, no one from Friedrichshain could go to work anymore. I mean, if they, you know, had to wear white, they'd have to stay at home.
Thankfully,
or
not
go
anymore.
Go on a protest, yeah.
They're allowed. They're back in the business.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Happy goth bakers.
Well, enough waffle, Maisie. Let's get on with the song. We're going to kick off the show with a song by a band called Ideal. Who are Ideal, Maisie?
They were, I think, a new wave band. The singer's sister went on to find fame in Zweiraum Wohnung, which were significantly more successful than Ideal. But I know they're kind of both celebs, the Humper sisters. And Ideal were much more punky than Zweiraum Wohnung.
They are nice and punky, so let's hear a song appropriately named Berlin by Ideal. The song Berlin, the band Ideal, the primary lyric in the song is Ich stehe auf Berlin, which translated is Macy.
I like Berlin.
And a lot of us do like Berlin, which is why we're here. One thing we are unfortunately discovering is that a lot of the people who were here first don't really like us arriving. And it's been a growing trend in Berlin that there's been a movement against tourists, but not just tourists, but recent arrivals, anybody who sort of rocked up in the last couple of years. And the people who got here a little bit earlier than that seem to have taken offense to it. And you might have seen around the city some pretty horrible slogans emerging and some pretty awful sentiment being sort of directed at new internationals who are moving to the city. Not even internationals, new Germans who are moving to the city.
Anyone who doesn't come from Berlin, basically.
Which is a lot of people, because not many people actually come from Berlin and stay here. So there is I wouldn't want to like go fear-mongering and say there's a lot of hate on the streets, but you do see these stickers, like I said earlier, of, you know, Berlin doesn't heart you, and, you know, fuck off yuppies and touris. And there is one group in particular that has seen this trend of anti-tourism anger and has decided to react against it. Very interestingly, this group comes from the activist scene, from the Antifa movement. And Maisie had the good sense to go and interview one of the main activists from this group and got a really interesting interview. Maisie, tell us a little bit about the person that you talked to.
Well, the man I met calls himself Janek. It's not his real name. He's had to adopt a pseudonym because of he's afraid for his own safety. And basically, he and several friends founded the Hipster Antifa Neukölln. They come from the same kind of scene as the people who are now giving tourists and people who've moved here a lot of stick. So they kind of recognise they recognise where the hate is coming from, and they want to try and do something about it.
So it's interesting because these kind of people, from what I've seen, have traditionally been the people bagging the tourists, but this group has broken away and said, yeah, enough's enough. And in fact, what we're seeing now is some kind of veiled, real sort of hatred against people who don't deserve it. Because, of course, we're talking about the issue of gentrification. That's the buzzword that gets thrown around here. And the point they're trying to make is that gentrification is systemic. It's not an individual. And to point the finger is somehow really wrong. But I guess it's better if we let him tell the story, right?
Yes, I think so. So here's Janek to talk about Hipster Antifa Neukölln, what they're about, what they're doing, and what they're against.
We are a group with a certain background, the Antifa background, which is like leftist groups who were fighting fascism or right-wing extremism in the past maybe 30 years. We are taking this label or idea and bringing it to the discussion about all this touristification, in quotation marks, to criticize the whole matter and the whole way people are talking about tourists and hipsters and whatever. Some certain areas of the city are changing in their whole appearance and in their economic structure. So, of course, people have to leave their flats because the rent is rising, and the rent is rising because shareholders and people like that try to make money out of it and try to make money out of the tourist hype, I would say, of certain areas like Neukölln and Kreuzberg. There have been some attacks and stuff, verbal insults and attacks on hotels and hostels. And these attacks were like, okay, throwing bottles at or stones at the windows and sticky black or red paint onto the walls and stuff. And with slogans like, go home, UP tourist fuckers, whatever. And these are well-known leftist agitation procedures, I would say. Some months ago, we were like a little bit shocked about the way this whole thing developed. And when we first met these graffitis, which said, tourists, go home, fuck yourself, whatever. Sorry, but that's what they say. In the first moment you think, okay, it might be a joke, but the more you are into this topic, you realize a lot of the people are serious about it. And we came into this and started our Facebook page in order to make like a public counter statement and to provoke all these leftist groups, but also the whole public. We are criticizing that gentrification is not really a new phenomenon. It is quite a commonplace phenomenon, but now people have a word for it, and they use that word to fill like a political gap of activism. So all these leftist groups, they're used to whatever, clash with police or fighting Nazis or whatever. And sometimes, like German word is Sommerloch, which means there's nothing going on in a month like August and June and stuff. People are thinking about, okay, we have this kind of tool box of activism methods, and we want to do something, and we want to find a certain way of expressing ourselves. And so they find this topic and try to fill this gap. And that's our idea about why people are so keen on fighting tourists and stuff. It's like more resentment against foreigners. And we guess that a lot of people who come out of this leftist subcultural complex, they are feeling, okay, we were the cool guys 20 years ago. We were like, wow, Kreuzberg, we are so cool, we are rebellious and stuff. Now it's a hipster. Hipster is cool, and the whatever anarchist punk movement is like, okay, it was in the 90s yesterday, it doesn't matter anymore. And I guess that's a certain ingredient of this development, because people are like, okay, we have to be present again, and we have to act again to step forward and make our identity public again or whatever. We think this is really ridiculous and has nothing to do with kind of emancipation movement or whatever. We are not pro gentrification, we are against gentrification, but in a sense, like a different approach. Maybe the word gentrification itself is like a problem, because it says gentrification means if people have to move out of a flat on a certain place in a certain time. And this is commonplace. And if you call it gentrification, it gets, in German it's Alleinstellungsmerkmal, it's hard to translate, it's like a special development, but it's not a special development. And this is like people don't think about it and say, okay, let's fight gentrification, after that everything will be okay. And that's wrong, because after that people are still poor and can't afford certain flats, maybe in Grunewald or Charlottenburg, where it's very expensive. And they don't think about it, and they claim to live in a certain, like a protected environment, like a natural park or whatever, and they have to defend it, and it's very nice there, and they want to stay there and stay, keep their style and way of living, and they cannot accept that people from all over the world come here and want to participate in it, and that's. That's very, in German we say spießig. It's like you would expect it from people in Bavaria or, you know, like in Stuttgart or whatever. These bourgeois people say, okay, we don't want loud kids in the neighborhood and stuff. And that's like the same sentiment. And we don't know how it comes that these people will say, wow, we are so flipped out and freaky, and we have fun all the time and party 24 hours. And we are so alternative, and then the tourists pop up and, oh, go away, we don't want it, you're so loud, you're drinking, and whatever, it's ridiculous. We
were like, that was Yannick from the group Hipster Antifa Neukölln, someone who has a problem with people who have a problem with tourists. And in my books, I think that's a pretty good sentiment to take, Macy, because I had the same feeling not long ago that this has gone a bit too far, that the anti-gentrification movement had somehow begun, you know, really demonizing the individual and had been forgetting that gentrification is in fact a cause of capitalism. It's what happens when you have a free market real estate system that allows people to pay the highest price and be able to move in. And if you've got a problem with gentrification, then perhaps you should be directing that towards the systemic issues, and, you know, voting in parties that will promise to put caps on rent and to reduce the influence of the free market on really vital things like housing. So I'm really happy to hear that there's also Germans who've gotten behind the movement. And I think it's really comforting to realize that there are actually Germans out there in Berlin who are willing to stand up for tourists and not just tourists, new arrivals. So yeah, good on them. I guess we should be all going to their Facebook page and becoming fans. And what's the page, Maisie?
Well, it's just, you'll just find them, Hipster Antifa Neukölln on Facebook. And you can have a look at, you know, there's various interviews with them and sort of posters they've created, kind of mocking the anti-tourist movement, as it were. And that's where they are. That's their internet presence. I don't know where they're building a website, but at the moment they're on Facebook. And there's a very amusing picture you'll see on there as well, which made me laugh.
Enough talk, Maisie. Time for a song. He is a Berlin band with a very long name, so a little bit more talking. The band is called I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. And I'll tell you a bit more about them after the song.
That was I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream with their song Careless Talk.
A long name, Maisie?
Yeah, it certainly is. You're not going to be fitting that onto any little button badges, are you?
We call them No Mouth in the scene.
Oh.
Yeah, just No Mouth. If you're cool, that's what you call them. Yeah. I know them because I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream are actually the sister band of my band Skiing. We share two members. The drummer and the singer from my band are also in I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. It's kind of like a Venn diagrams connection of our bands. We sometimes play together. And yeah, they're great. That song is actually off their little album. It's a cassette. They're selling cassettes still.
Wow.
And their sound has moved a little bit because they've got a new singer, but it's still quite similar. Yeah, I think they're great.
Do you think if they have a massive fan base, there's suddenly a massive surge in old cassette players being sold? Because it's like, you know, what are people playing these things on?
Yeah, sure. Well, I wouldn't know what you'd listen to a cassette on. What I find interesting is that people don't even have CD players anymore.
No.
Our band has been selling CDs at shows, and I have had a lot of people say, what am I going to play that on? My laptop doesn't even have a CD player anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty radically modern.
CDs are out already.
Okay.
Who would have thought? So a bit of backstory about the band's extraordinarily long name. It comes from a short science fiction book by the same name. And the science fiction book is actually terribly depressing, Maisie.
I was going to ask you. I quite fancied reading that. I thought the title was quite intriguing.
It's set in a kind of post-apocalyptic world where a supercomputer has kind of taken over the entire surface of the planet. And there are only a small number of humans left, and they're living in some kind of subterranean cave controlled by the supercomputer, which is doing horrible experiments to them.
Wow.
And one of these surviving humans decides to put the other humans out of their misery by killing them all. So one of them kills all the other humans. And before he gets to kill himself, the computer chases him down and traps him and turns him into a giant protoplasmic blob, condemned to never be able to move, to make any noise, or to, you know, scream when the torture is inflicted upon him. So it's about the last human.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, can't wait to read that one, can you, Maisie?
Oh, I think you put me off it now.
Hopefully I haven't put you off the band, because they're a great band.
Okay.
They play around Berlin quite a lot. One place they don't play, and they won't play again, is a club that is closing down, Maisie.
We've
been talking a little bit about clubs that close down. And interestingly, the clubs we've talked about in the past have been closed down because of neighborhood change in places like Prenzlauer Berg. But the one in question today is not closing for that reason particularly. The club is called Delicious Donuts. It's been a bit of a fixture of the Mitte club scene. Maisie knows a lot more about it because you've been here longer than I have.
Well, I studied here a long time ago. I've already said this several times, but I came here a while ago. And in 2000, it was called DDR. It was a joke, you know, Delicious Donuts Research. And basically, it was very popular because at that time, Mitte was still a very sort of buzzing place to go out to clubs. And I'm always amazed when I walk past it, because I work just around the corner. I'm always amazed to see it's still going. You know, I always think it's got this same kind of red velvet curtains. It just seems like it hasn't really changed. And I always used to think, you know, that its days are numbered. And of course, they sadly are now, because it's not worth, I think financially, they're not making enough money and the rent's going up. But the owner also runs another bar in Prenzlauer Berg called Hotel Bar, another institution I used to go to. And that's that will keep going. That's on Rieckerstrasse, which is the absolute epicenter of gentrification.
But it's interesting to read that Delicious Donuts is not closing because of neighbor complaints. It's not closing because of anything
not
like
the
that.
Spieser,
it's just closing because it became unpopular.
And partly because, the rent's too high.
And all the cool party crowds moved to Kreuzberg and Neukölln left Mitte behind.
Yeah, no one's going out in Mitte anymore unless they're going out to... Where are they going, Joel? Where is there to go around in Mitte?
I wouldn't know. I don't go there.
Where's that? There's HBC?
Well, there's the bar we're sitting, which is actually technically in Mitte Friedrichshain. Yeah. We're recording Radio Spätkauf from the bar Naherholung Sternchen, which is behind Kino International. And that's kind of right near Alexanderplatz, but in the middle of nowhere. We're in the middle of these Plattenbau and lots of old people, and there's nothing else around here. But interestingly, people are coming here. There are popular events going on in here. So I guess it's just like any bar. They get popular and they close, you know? It's just a cycle.
Yeah, maybe. But DDR managed a long time, I have to say, by Berlin standards. It outlived a lot of bars, you know, Ostgood, all those kind of places, Casino. So it's done pretty well to last this long, I have to say.
Well, of course, Ostgood became Berghain, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
And we have an update about Berghain because that was another place that the rumour was threatened with closure because of the ridiculous fees that are being imposed by GEMA, the Music Rights Association, who have decided to slap huge increases in the price that they charge to clubs to play music, just to have the rights to play music, by the thousands of percents. And Berghain was going to be particularly badly hit. And there were rumours flying about what that was going to do for the club. Maisie's got a little bit of an update.
Yes, well, there were some rumours actually flying around that it was going to close. And obviously, I mean, basically it's not going to close because they make so much money. They have so many turning people away, you know, every weekend. Basically, they can increase the cover charge a bit more and people will still pay it because people love the club, you know. But they were planning to expand into a neighbouring building, a very beautiful old kind of cathedral, an equally cathedral-like kind of old industrial building. And because of the GEMA costs, they are now unable financially to expand because it's just all going to cost too much money. So basically, GEMA has robbed us or Berghain fans of a nice new art space where they were actually planning on putting on kind of cultural events that extended beyond just club nights. You know, there's going to be dance and theatre, and it's not going to happen now.
Thanks, GEMA.
Yeah, cheers.
Next time you see a GEMA spy, kick him in.
Throw a custard pie at them.
But GEMA spies, Maisie. This is what I have just learned, and I've got to do a bit more research. So I'm kind of talking a bit, before doing research, which is always dangerous because I could be proven wrong.
It's a Spätkauf special.
I have been informed by the operator of one particular club that GEMA is now sending out spies, or perhaps it always has been sending out spies to check on what music they play when they're open. But apparently these people are freelancers, so you can apply to GEMA to go around and be some kind of little snitch. Isn't that awful?
But Joel, the thing is, at least in the East, all those old ex-Stasi employees, they've got to go somewhere, haven't they?
Well, really? I was actually sitting at a bar where one showed up, and it wasn't an old Stasi guy at all. It was just some young dude who just looked like he just needed the money. And I thought, that's awful. These people are being recruited in just to become these sort of social spies.
Yeah, but if people will do grill walking, then they will definitely spy for GEMA, you know, or do the checking your tickets on the U-Bahn. That's a pretty crap job, you know. So I can see, you know, in terms of the terrible jobs choice, I'd opt for the GEMA one any day.
Song time, Maisie. And as I said, we're sitting in Sternchen. And as I said last week on the last episode of Radio Spätkauf, Sternchen is blessed with a wall full of paintings by Jim Avignon. We played a song by Jim Avignon last week, but Maisie has a bit of a soft spot for him and she's particularly liked to play another one.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit out of date, but I don't think he gets the kind of attention he deserves. This is a track called Bartleby, which comes from his 2000 album, Say Hi to Your Neighbourhood.
Jim Avignon, Say Hi to Your Neighbourhood. Come down to Sternchen and say hi to some of his paintings. They're on the wall.
Yeah.
They look great. Maisie, I went to the cinema the other night.
Did you? What did you go and see?
Well, I don't want to, you know, product place for a film, but it was, I don't go to the movies often, and I had completely forgotten about the whole thing about advertising at the start of movies.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I was sitting there, and the first ad that came on was an ad for Bild newspaper, and it was this sort of awful 3-minute people joking around about whatever they think of Bild, and this huge big slogan, Bild, came up. And I just thought, this is ridiculous. So I decided to be a bit of a loudmouth. And at the end of the ad, I yelled out, Cockscheiser!
Joel, did you get thrown out of the cinema?
Nobody said anything. I was terribly disappointed. There wasn't even like a laugh. I was hoping for an amen from the crowd.
Or an angry riposte or anything. Sort.
I think I heard someone way in the back kind of whisper like, what a cock shies. Like they're trying to work out, what did he just say? Did someone just yell at the screen? So my question is, was that genuinely just not funny, or do Germans just have no sense of humor?
No, I think it was probably too, they probably weren't expecting it, and probably they know it's Kackscheisse, so it's probably not, you're stating the obvious. It has to be cleverer than that, Joel.
You want to give us a translation?
Kackscheisse is like shit. So basically you said shit.
And I wasn't alone, I was with somebody at the film, and he said to me, what does that even mean? What did you just say, and why did you say it? And I had to say, well, of course I was just criticizing the Bild Zeitung, this newspaper, because it's bullshit, and everybody knew that. And I thought, isn't it self-evident that Bild is a bad newspaper?
No, it isn't, because otherwise it wouldn't sell that well.
Not only that, Maisie, but sometimes I think, and this is where I think people who, you know, stand on progressive issues should sometimes be a bit cautious and I don't know, do a little bit of research. And I've got to be honest, I actually don't read the Bild Zeitung. I have been told it's a crappy newspaper, and I've been told it's one that's really offensive and sometimes, you know, pushes political agendas that I would completely disagree with. But I thought it's actually important sometimes to read this thing and to be actually informed to make sure that my opinions about it being Kackscheisse are actually correct.
Yeah.
So I did actually leaf through the Bild Zeitung this week just to make sure.
Online, I hope. I hope you didn't buy it.
It was in the bakery when I was buying coffee or something. But I don't want to turn this into some kind of positive story about Bild, because I do understand that they run a lot of really crappy editorial lines, and that you know, there's things that you shouldn't, that they support that I don't. But I did notice, and this surprised me, did you realize that the front page girls have disappeared off Bild?
I hadn't noticed.
When I moved here, Bild Zeitung had every day a picture of a topless girl on the front page.
Oh.
And I thought, this is incredible, because in England, of course, the famous newspaper is The Sun, and their claim to fame is that they have page three girls.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was outrageous. I move here and they've got them on the front page of the biggest selling newspaper in Germany.
Yeah, but you know what they're like about nudity, Joel, here? They don't mind a bit of flesh bearing, even
don't.
On the front of daily newspapers that sell massive, you know, amounts.
Well, apparently it had even gotten too much for Bild, and a couple of months ago, I didn't even notice this, it was back in March, they decided to drop the front page girls. So I'm very sorry if you've come here expecting a little bit more flesh, if you're one of these tourists who are hoping to see like a liberal, you know, overly liberal German publishing scene where you can just pick up any kind of, you know, filth off the newsstands, to be disappointed, you won't find it. Instead, Bild now buries it back on page 8 or 9 or something.
Okay.
So don't worry, it's still there.
Yeah.
Along with a lot of other, you know, stories that, you know, may or may not be offensive to certain demographics.
Yeah. Bild Zeitung. Yeah, I remember it's their Wir sind Papst massive hoarding that they put on the side of the Axel Springer building.
Oh, we are the Pope.
Yeah, and I had that basically facing my flat, getting up every morning and seeing a massive, massive image of the Pope's face and Wir sind Papst.
Like Germany had become the Pope.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was quite a bit of propaganda.
Very much so. Apparently he won't be Pope for long. He's on his way out. So I don't know what Germans are going to do when Wir sind nicht in Papst.
Well, he stays down at Zuidkreuz when he's here.
Yeah, and very, very humble
digs. Very close
digs,
to me, yeah. Phenomenal kind of security system on this kind of very ultra-modern kind of Terminator-style looking building.
But no flash hotel.
No.
Maybe he goes for a walk in Hasenheide and picks up some weed.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, goes for a little jog on Tempelhof. Does a bit of gardening, a bit of guerrilla gardening. Yeah.
Maisie, we like talking about change in Berlin, particularly when it comes to the naming of streets, because we have seen quite an agenda of political parties trying to rename streets, particularly of those that come from the former East, you know, names of former communists and so forth. The modern day politicians have quite they're quite fans of scrubbing out the old names of the East.
Yes.
And replacing them. There was a rumor that Karl Marx Alley might be renamed Ronald Reagan Alley. Thank God it hasn't happened.
Ronald McDonald Alley.
Possibly that even.
Yep. Sorry.
But there's another street renaming in the works, Maisie. You want to tell us about it?
Yes, the CDU are campaigning. Yes, it's the CDU again. They want the Zimmerstraße. You may know this street. It runs off Friedrichstraße in Mitte. It's quite a big, famous street. And that is actually the street where a young man called Peter Fechter was killed in 1961 by border guards trying to escape to the west.
Was he coming over the wall?
He was coming over the wall. He and his friend basically decided to chance it, jump over the wall, which was still in its kind of infancy in those days. It wasn't the kind of high-tech thing it became in the late 80s. And basically his friend got over, but he was shot as he climbed over and he fell back into the Eastern Territory and he was left there and bled. Took him about an hour to bleed to death. And the story is that nobody helped him because the East German border guards were afraid of being shot at by the Westerners. And interestingly, the Americans didn't help because they were afraid of the same thing, apparently. So basically, everyone just watched him die. And it became a massive scandal because he wasn't the first person to be shot by East German border guards trying to escape, but he was the first person to do it so publicly. And in the following days, there was kind of lots of outrage in the press about it. You know, Soviet convoys going over to the West were built, kind of pelted with stones. And the CDU think, rightly in a way, so that the street should be named after him. There was a monument there for a long time, and then for a while there was a very tacky gold sculpture there, which I'm not sure is still there, the spot where he was killed. But now they're saying it's not enough. You know, it shouldn't be Zimmerstraße; it should be Peter Fechter Straße, which, you know, it could be a possibility, but the thing is that the Bürgermeister of Mitte, or whatever he is an SPD chap, and he basically says, yes, we'd love to call it Peter Fechterstrasse, but we can't, because we have an obligation to name streets after women, because we have a quota. which I think, I knew nothing, you know, I don't want to diss the sisterhood, but I thought it was quite amusing, because it's like, it's a fantastic, you know, got to get that even. So basically, that's
well, the
only
last,
thing that might stop
the
them.
Last street renaming in that area was the Rudi Dutschke Straße.
Yeah,
well,
who wasn't a woman. So
the next one has to be a woman.
I think it does, yeah. I think they've got to kind of, they said there's far too many streets named after men, and they've got to start naming them after women.
Is it not just him trying to be difficult for the CDU to make sure it doesn't get there?
Well, you never know. I mean, the CDU are always very keen on changing anything kind of remotely. If they can somehow stick the boot in into the GDR in any way, they will. And, you know, be it street names or schools or anything like that, you know, it's got to be changed, because they've got a vendetta, and the right-wing press also, you know. And I do think it would be a good thing to name the street after Peter Fechter, but I do always question the CDU's kind of bizarre attack on anything Eastern is quite, it's a vendetta.
Well, that's it for another episode of Radio Spätkauf. We'll be back soon with more talk about street renamings and you know, gentrification and all things about life in Berlin. And yeah, stay tuned. We'll be back soon. So thanks for listening.
Tschüss.